I'm RJ Bell with the sports betting headlines for Monday. Milwaukee ties the series. Now two of the three, big three, out for the next game. And you know what? Milwaukee is favored now to advance. In the series, Milwaukee is favored over Brooklyn. The Suns sweep, but they're not the favorite to win the title. In fact, they're not even the second favorite to win the title. The Phoenix Suns are only the third favorite to win, even though they're the first and only team to advance. Speaking of trying to advance, tonight the Clippers, game four, trying to even the series, and they're favored by 5 points in this game. That assumes the Clippers are the much better team. What's going on? Here comes a 4 hour of the Vegas Truth covering all that and more.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Monday, live in Las Vegas, live on 225 FSR stations across this great, great nation. And this is an aftermath Monday. What went on? What does it mean about what's happening going forward, including a big game with the Clippers and Utah tonight? Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. I'm the pro. He's the Joe in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got some major issues for an NBA title contender and two more games in the playoffs coming up later on, what is the Vegas lead here on this Monday?
We're going to go macro, big picture, and it's how much injuries are affecting this year's playoffs. And really what we're going to discuss is at least try to raise the question, how much of this is a result of the shortened off season? How much of this is a result of now literally with seven teams left, none of them were in the Final Four last year. So you have the four best teams last year, and now you have the seven best teams remaining this year, and there's no overlap? That can't be a coincidence. I want to, you know, kind of go through these series and in the season, really, and say how much were they affected by injuries.
Yeah, and the big injury yesterday was, of course, Kyrie Irving, who rolled his ankle in the Brooklyn Nets loss to the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 4 of that series. He has already been ruled out for Game 5, and so a series that was once led by Brooklyn 2-0, Brooklyn with an opportunity to win Game 3, all of a sudden find themselves in a must-win scenario. Game 5 shorthanded because James Harden also still out dealing with that hamstring injury.
And if you look at Game 5, it's a situation where even though it's in Brooklyn, Game 5, and there's only three games left, right? So if you have a best of three effectively, and one team has two home games, and one team has one home game, it's a rare occurrence. And by definition, the team with home court had the better regular season. It is the rarest of rare things that you'll see the road team being favored to win the series. And that's what we've got here. I think it's fairly justified because obviously what team in the NBA, imagine the Lakers without LeBron and AD, right? Imagine yeah. Utah without, I mean, just go down the list and take away the two best players from every team. And you know what? I've got the Nets at that point. But if your two best are taken away against teams at full strength, it's tough. So the fact that this is even competitive still in the eyes of Vegas with the two best players or two of the three best players out for Brooklyn, it really speaks to how deep and how almost historic that Brooklyn team was. So let me ask you, Jonas, just with the eye test, is once Kyrie went down, and I believe that the next half hour or so of real time, there was a sense of shock and that kind of affected the Nets. But once that was over, how would you rate the full-strength Milwaukee team nearly full strength, to this Brooklyn team with two of their stars out.
Well, just, I mean, the better team on the floor the rest of the game throughout. And then also, you could feel there was just a sense of real confidence because they went into Game 3, and I think the feeling from a lot of people who watched Game 3 was, I mean, yeah, great win, you know, good win, good for Milwaukee, but, you know, nobody really thinks this is going to go that much longer. And it wasn't long ago that we were talking about, hey, maybe you don't even need James Harden to beat this Milwaukee team. And now you fast forward.
I think we thought that Brooklyn was the clear favorite without Harden.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so just to see what happened midway through the second quarter and beyond, like Kevin Durant did as much as he possibly could. They just were completely outmatched, totally overwhelmed. And there's a sense of confidence that's now instilled within Milwaukee to where they feel like there's blood in the water and they have an opportunity here.
Now, you're bringing up a good point. And you've got a good feel for this. Is, I guess I don't humanize the players as much, whereas I guess I do in a negative sense if I think that they're, you know, like there's some speculation about Philadelphia. I think Barkley was talking about it, was, okay, they're in Atlanta for a couple of days after like a statement win. Maybe the wings might be calling, you know, hey, come get some wings at Magic City. Right. And I think I can understand that part of humanity, the love of wings, for example. But what I don't do as well as you is think about, oh, this is going to buoy them. This is going to give them confidence. To me, I guess I'm a confident person. Listen, there's times I've been uncertain of things and then I do well, let's say, and then I'm more confident and that's awesome. I'm not in touch with that as much. And you really were with Phoenix. You said, listen, Phoenix supplanting the Lakers. Not only does it advance them, but it gives them confidence. And that was a team that played, and we'll talk about the game a little bit, with max confidence in that series and swept them. I mean, that's as well as you can do, a sweep a team. And the games weren't all that competitive. I mean, it was a dominating Phoenix performance. I think what you're saying here is it's not so much Milwaukee's thinking we're better than we thought we were. It was, hey, the first two games we were nervous. The whole season was kind of pointed towards the playoffs, and the moment got beyond us. But now we're starting to play better. And you know what? Or kind of now we're starting to play like ourselves might be the better way to say it. And then Milwaukee looks over and goes, oh, look, we can beat that team.
Yeah.
Because you know, we see the two guys on the bench. So I think it's a combination of them coming into their own and getting comfortable in Milwaukee. And then just looking over and saying, hey, maybe we couldn't beat them at full strength, but it doesn't matter. They have their minus two stars right now. And I think that gives them. So I guess the way I would say it is this. Imagine if whoever's playing for Kyrie, that there was another example where Kyrie played, but he played exactly like his backup would have, meaning identical. I think Milwaukee's better now than they would be in that spot. Because if Kyrie played like a backup, the psychology would still be, we got to beat Kyrie, Harden, let's say, and Durant. But if you take those two off, now it's you not only gain, if you're Milwaukee, the removal of that high-quality player, but you gain confidence.
Yeah.
And I think it's both the confidence that we can do this with the reality that the backups – for Brooklyn cannot play as well as the star, you know, the absent starters, and thus you have a better chance to win. I think it's both of them.
And I also think there was a general feeling that the NBA Finals are going to go one of two ways. Either the Lakers were going to win, or it was going to be Brooklyn because they had the three great players on the team and they had their big three figured out. Well, now the Lakers are gone. And now Brooklyn's really banged up. Harden's, you know, it got that hamstring injury that's been an issue all season. And they can say Kyrie's just out for this next game, but that was a nasty injury. And although x-rays were negative, that feels like something that's going to take a little while. I wonder if there's now a reinstilled confidence of all teams remaining in the playoffs. Meaning, wait, so the two big dogs are really compromised. One's already out, and one is, you know, just has a patchwork starting five based on their injury issues. I wonder if it's not even just Milwaukee. I wonder if there are other teams in the playoffs that are looking like and saying to themselves, we could do this. Like, wasn't possible before. This is our opportunity to try and, you know, make some magic here this run.
And I wonder if we don't understand professional athletes to the point where it feels like they have irrational confidence in spots, you know, where some professional bettors will be like, well, you know, they only have a 12% chance to get that number two seed, so they probably didn't play too hard. It's like, I think in general, if you're getting the crap beat out of you after two games, I think it helps Milwaukee because they saw what the, not even the full version, but the almost full version of Brooklyn would do to them. And I can see where taking away Kyrie gives you confidence. I'm not sure, I don't think Chris Paul was worried. Right. Maybe he was. Maybe he won't admit it. But they do seem like guys that do have professional athletes in general have an irrational exuberance, irrational confidence sometimes. But it can hurt. And to speak to your point, let's look at the preseason odds. All right. So coming into the preseason, Milwaukee was the second favorite. So they thought, OK, hey, well, you know, they're pretty good. Everyone thought they were good. Clippers were the third favorite. So that's kind of the chalk that was there. And the Nets were 12-1. So the Nets weren't all that, you know, confident, or at least the market wasn't. But then as you go down, the Suns were the eighth favorite at 20-1. And then the Jazz were the 11th favorite at 30-1. And the 76ers were tied for 11th at 30-1. So the Sixers have felt kind of chalky this year. But then Atlanta was 40-1. So there's been one NBA team, I think maybe two in 20 plus years. And if you go back 30 or 40, like let's go back to 1979-80, which is kind of the demarcator for me with Matt, you know, actually was when the 3-point line started in the NBA and Magic and Bird's rookie year, is there's maybe three or four teams that were over 25-1 or over to win it. This is the chalkiest league there is, the NBA. And the reason is because it's a seven-game series and luck doesn't mean as much in each individual game. In football, the ball is not round and it bounces funny and it just takes one turnover to swing games. In basketball, what's the biggest effect that one play can have? 3 points. You can either make or miss a three.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could make a case that, oh, a foul call early on a star might mean more. But the games are pretty much, you know, dozens and dozens of possessions. Who's going to win? In the NFL, it's not. And it's one game versus seven. So it's usually chalk. The last team that wasn't chalk was Golden State the first year they won it. Remember, Mark Jackson was there the year before. They lost, I think, in the first round. And then next year, they were not expected to win it. Golden State was 25-1. Think back. How many other teams were, like, out of nowhere? And literally, any team here, the Bucks would not be out of nowhere. The Clippers would not be out of nowhere. And obviously, the Nets wouldn't be. All right, that's three of the seven left. But of the four other teams left, and these are four teams right now with a heck of a chance to win it. If you look at the title odds now, Brooklyn's still number one. Jazz are second. Suns are third. Bucks are fourth. Sixers are fifth. Clippers are sixth. So, and then the Hawks are seventh. So if we look at some of the favorites here, Utah, Phoenix, etc., and the rest of these remaining, literally, just one more time, because it bears repeating. This is so rare that you've got a team, specifically the Suns, that was 20-1 to start. And then you've got the Jazz was 30-1. You've got the Sixers was 30-1. And the Hawks, 40-1. 20, 30, 30, 40. Any of them would be like maybe the fourth time in 40 years that such a long shot won the NBA title.
Wow.
This is the least chalky we've ever seen the last 18. You know, we're only in the second round, and already it's like the chalk is so much chalk has gone down, and obviously the Lakers at the top of that list. I think the injuries are the driver of that. I mean, you got to wonder if Brooklyn's not hurt. I mean, is there even a chance? I mean, there's a chance, but I think they cruise. And I do think one more thing about how much respect Brooklyn's getting still. So let's take a minute with that. They're still the favorite. 2.5 to 1. Jazz are second favorite, 3.5 to 1. Now, should they be? I kind of still see it because the theory is if Kyrie is out even at 2 games or even the rest of the series, they still have a pretty decent chance to advance. And if they do, the health of him shouldn't be an issue. Kyrie should be back for the next round. So it's really the uncertainty with Brooklyn is this round. Now, if they do advance, you could say, well, Harden's going to be prone to re-hurt his hamstring. Maybe. But would you agree with me? If Brooklyn gets through this round and there's no additional injuries, that they should be the favorite?
I to come out of the East, I would say
No,
yes.
I'm saying to win it. To win it.
I don't know.
Well, let's say it's the Sixers, Brooklyn, Utah, and Phoenix in the conference finals. You don't have a fairly healthy Brooklyn team as the clear favorite?
Well, no. If they get one of those guys back, all they need is Harden or Kyrie. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because I don't think, unless Kyrie's got something that they're hiding, Kyrie would be back within the next. I mean, they're saying he could be back in Game 6, but he'd be back for the next round. You got to figure, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how truthful they're being about the severity of the injury. That was as nasty of an ankle injury as it looked like. He was reportedly in a walking boot afterwards. I just that's the one I want to keep an eye on, and obviously the James Harden. But if they get one of those guys back, I still think they're the favorite. I also think this: if they don't get any of those guys back for this series, I think Milwaukee's going to win this series. But if for whatever reason Kevin Durant goes off and they advance past this round, I think they could beat either Atlanta or Philly without either James Harden or Kyrie Irving.
So you're saying two of the three?
Yeah, I think if two of the three were out, they'd have a much easier time next round than they would right now with Milwaukee.
Okay, so Milwaukee's the best team remaining in the East 100%. Other than Brooklyn.
Yep.
But let's say that it was just Kevin Durant against Philly, and the rest of the team, but other than the big two, or the two of the big three out. So Kyrie out, Harden out, Durant in for the entire conference finals. Now, remember, Philly has home court. Who would you have in that? I'd make Philly the favorite there.
I would make Philly a slight favorite, but I wouldn't dismiss Brooklyn. I still think they would be capable of beating them, much more so than beating Milwaukee without two of those three.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. That's Jonas Knox. Now, this shows you how much respect Milwaukee's getting. Brooklyn is getting. Not only are they still favored to win the title, with Milwaukee being the fourth favorite. Milwaukee is plus 475, and they were plus 400 entering the year. So right now, the betting market thinks Milwaukee has less of a chance to win the title than they did starting the year. That's insane. Those bookies, they are cockroaches. But, let's accept the market for what it is. I find it fascinating that Milwaukee in Game 5 is only a 3.5-point favorite. All right, now they're on the road. It's in Brooklyn, but man, that means if the game was in Milwaukee, let's swing it. They'd be like a 7-point favorite. I mean, that's showing a lot of respect. Think about it. The game 4 line, and this game 4 line, Jonas, was historic. Now check this out. This will be the last thing we do before the break. We had a pretty common sequence of games entering Game 4 in the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series. It was home team won first game, home team won second game, road team, or now it went back and the former road team becomes home, Milwaukee, and they win that game. So it's 2-1 going in the fourth. That's super common, right? We see it all the time. Of all the games that's ever happened, the adjustment in which, what was the difference in the line in Game 3 and Game 4? Because the theory is Game 3, the home team's in a must-win spot. The crowd's just rocking, and we see it all the time. There's some adjustment. Even if that home team wins Game 3, the fact is game four ends up being kind of like the key game. And it's like, okay, there's an adjustment. The adjustment that was made was the biggest in recorded point spread history in the favor of Brooklyn. And remember, as anyone that watched the game knows, Kyrie didn't get hurt till the game started. So there was no sense that he was going to get hurt. So it was the big two without Harden in that game four that was, because everyone was like you, Jonas, saying, yeah, Milwaukee won game three, but that wasn't convincing at all. Like, that was the sense. And the movement went from, it was like 5.5 points of movement. So, Spencer, I don't have it right in front of me. Do you remember McKenzie's got the stomach flu today after a long weekend? Do you remember what the game three versus game four line was? Because I know that the adjustment was like 5.5 points. You have the exact line of those two games?
I can get it in just a moment.
All right, so let's do this. Let's take our first break. When we come back, what we'll do is get to that first, is show you that the market's respect on Milwaukee or on Brooklyn versus Milwaukee was more than any team in recorded point spread history. And the fact they lost, yeah, it tells you that, hey, Kyrie's important, but it also tells you there's so much love for this Brooklyn team. It's probably going to continue even through the injuries. We'll break it down.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I disagree with intervention. I disagree with protocol. If you speak out against the words, then I have
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a closer look at what the injury status in the Brooklyn-Milwaukee series means to the NBA title picture.
Yeah, and we got the numbers on that historic line adjustment that happened between Game 3 and 4. Great day to join. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has doubled in the last year plus. That's because of you and your support. And we're going to return the favor, continue to, giving the best show, delivering the best show we can. You can listen across the country on the radio, 225 stations. You're not sure which one? Just go to foxsportsradio.com. You can see a list of the stations, and you can just stream it right there if it's convenient. Right here in Las Vegas on the Strip, 109 degrees. The neon is percolating.
So, RJ, we've been talking about the series in the Eastern Conference that is the big conversation here throughout sports talk radio and beyond, as the Milwaukee Bucks have evened their series with the Brooklyn Nets, two games apiece with a 107-96 win yesterday. And the conversation now moves forward with the injury status to Kyrie Irving and James Harden becoming a big storyline for the NBA title picture.
Yeah, so this would be a good test for Spencer. Let's see if he was able to accomplish this. So Spencer sitting in for McKenzie, you know, the second chair moves to the first chair, McKenzie with the stomach flu on Monday. You know, who knows? It could be. He sounded fine on the phone. Is the line in the Brooklyn game three versus game four?
Game three, Brooklyn was +3.5, and game four, Brooklyn was -2. That's a 5.5 point adjustment.
5.5. You can always tell when someone's not a gambler when they say 0.5. Like, that's a little tip out there. When you hear one of the supposed gambling announcers go, yes, they're favored by 5.5, it's like, no, that's 5.5. That's 5.5. you would get beat up saying 5.5. But that said, I like the info. And as we've talked about, when you go through Pick'em, it goes from -1 to Pick'em to +1. There is no -0.5. So, you know, it's kind of confusing for novices, but or you know, again, often others who claim not to be. But let's call that a, you know, mathematically 5.5 is fair. 4.5 is more accurate. But if you look at the history, and I mean, we're talking about 20 years of NBA playoff data, that is the biggest adjustment between a game three and a game four in favor of the road team after the home team won. So it's, let's say from the perspective of Brooklyn, it's win, win, lose. And now what's happening in game four, which was this most recent game, that line went from being, as he said, a 3.5-point underdog. So Brooklyn healthy, you know, without Harden, but 2 of 3, was a 3.5-point underdog in game 3. In game 4, they were a 2-point favor. So here's the question, Jonas. What changed between game 3 and 4 other than the obvious extra motivation that Milwaukee had because game 3 was such a must-win?
I think that people looked at game 3 and just said, man, the fact that Brooklyn played as bad as they did and still had an opportunity to win that game late, this is just a prelude. This is a cute storyline, but it's just a prelude to what this series is going to look like, especially in the next game.
And I agree.
Obviously, yeah, that's what was my takeaway.
But what I'm saying is usually an adjustment like that is a half a point or a point. The idea that adjustment, what, you know, the typical adjustment between 3 and 4 is like in that spot is like 1.5 points. The fact that this adjusted 5.5, you know, or a little bit less, but okay, in that range, it's like, what's going on here? And remember, yeah, the same thing happened. If you look at what between game 2 and 3, there was a gigantic adjustment because remember in game 2, it was Milwaukee because, you know, Harden being out, though he was out most of game 1, he came into game 1 healthy. The adjustment was massive there. This series, in that case, it was in favor of Milwaukee. Remember, Milwaukee was favored in game 2. So Milwaukee, what's interesting is Milwaukee in game 2 with Harden out was like a 1.5-point favor. And now they're a 3.5-point favor. So even with Kyrie out, it's only a small adjustment because there was such an overreaction to Harden getting hurt. This series, more than any I can remember, Jonas, more than any I can remember, has been the prisoner of the moment. Oh, remember what the series praise coming in was? With Harden and Kyrie, it was only like minus 180 for Brooklyn, who has home court. So home court's minus 140, let's say, this year, because home court's not as valuable by somewhat because of still the COVID effects of crowds and stuff. So what we were saying coming into this series was Brooklyn's better, but, you know, just by one notch better. 140 becomes 180 because 140 is for home in this series, minus 140, minus 180. Okay, so I thought that was way too low, but okay, let's accept that. But then in game 2, it was like, huh, Harden's out. We're going to do a drastic move and make Milwaukee the favorite in Brooklyn. Now, that's like saying, geez, Milwaukee's the better team without Harden. Then it's like, well, no, because they just get crushed. And then if you jump to game 4 with Kyrie planning to play, it was like, oh, no, Brooklyn is a 3.5-point favorite now on the road? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never seen a series that goes from it's about even, Brooklyn with a small edge to start, to game 2 without Harden. It was like Milwaukee's the better team by far. I mean, how you're favored on the road, you're the better team by far. Milwaukee was favored in game 2 on the road. Then in game 4, Brooklyn was a significant favorite on the road. How can both teams be favored on the road? Milwaukee in game 2 is favored on the road, and then Brooklyn in game 4 is favored on the road. It just shows you. And now Milwaukee again is favored on the road, though it makes more sense because there's 2 injuries. But I got to be honest, it feels almost like that Lakers-Phoenix where I won't spend the whole show on it, but like being flabbergasted that this line didn't make any sense. And what we found out later was some people knew about a potential LeBron suspension, and thus it was moving the line in a way I didn't understand. This one, I don't think there's any secret, but let me just ask you, last question on it. Explain to me how, after game 1 and before this next game, game 5, so in game 2 and 3, what we knew was in game 4, we knew this. Harden's out, Kyrie's in, Durant's in. That was the case going into game 2,
yeah,
3, and 4. How is it in game 2 that Milwaukee's favored on the road, and then in game 4, Brooklyn's favored on the road, and the assumptions were the same injury-wise in both of those games?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. People go through history and find me a scenario this has been the case. You won't find it.
And especially in a year where, you know, we don't really know what to do with home court, because
it's a little bit less, but still it's getting to the point. I mean, you watched the game, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Judge, but you watched the games. Is it feels like home court's moving towards 70-80% of its typical value?
Yeah, no, it does, and especially the more people are getting into these arenas and the more comfortable they are with just being back out and going to these events, I think it's completely starting to liven up a lot of these arenas. But I also noticed this, and this could have been just exclusive to one sports book, but I was curious yesterday after the Kyrie injury. It was the third quarter. I think it was like late in the third quarter. I went on just to see what the live line was, because I like to do that from time to time. Just go on and see what the
live. Was this you or Live Bet Jesus?
I can't speak for Live Bet Jesus. I don't even know who that individual is.
But you know of him. You know of him.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors and reports that he makes appearances at random times on Fox Sports Radio. But I went on just out of curiosity to see what the live line was, and it wasn't available. Every single live line on every sporting event was up. Baseball, soccer, hockey, anything that was. I looked specifically for that game, and the live betting line was taken off the board. And I didn't know what to make of that. And I don't know if that was just exclusive to that book, or if that was the case in a lot of other places as well, too.
So here's what I would say is there's people use the terminology interchangeably, but there's live betting, which is literally every stop of play. If there's a foul, whatever, they put up something new. And then there's the ones that commercial breaks. And the ones that are not commercial breaks, but rather much more real time, those are algorithms. There's a mathematical formula that says, okay, whatever factors they put in there, how good are the teams, home court advantage, whatever it is, that produces the odds. Okay. Because there's no human that could do it fast enough to do it, you know, with 10 seconds to spare or whatever.
Right.
So my guess is that book, and more than that book, but, you know, many books, didn't feel comfortable making an in-game adjustment without Kyrie that they feel like their algorithm would be accurate. And what the bookies do, and I don't blame, you know, I blame the bookies for a lot, but if they don't think they can put up a good number, it's kind of hard to ask them to take bets. So in general, it's just the uncertainty that would come from an injury like that in game. And they, you know, I know some were up, others, and some books have more tolerance for risk, you know, and others like to always have a short thing, cockroaches. So, all right, so here's what we'll do. Speaking of injuries, we're going to discuss just how much the injuries affected things.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
On Fox Sports Radio, I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Let's do this. We'll take our last break. When we come back, we're going to preview Vegas style, both of the games tonight in the NBA. And I'm going to start a new feature. It's going to be, I haven't named it yet, but it's going to be a variation of what's the best bet if you had to bet something. If you maybe degenerate something, but if you got a bet, what would you bet? And I'm going to pick one thing for you that I think is the best bet of the night, even if it's not that good. We'll see.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. And RJ, we have a doubleheader on TNT in the NBA playoffs coming up later on, actually tipping off less than an hour from now at Atlanta. It's the 76ers at the Hawks. Philly has a 2-1 series lead and are a 3-point favorite in this game on pregame.com.
Okay, so Sixers down in Atlanta for multiple days. Jonas, does that concern you as a Sixers backer?
Yeah, it might be a little like some cause for concern, especially if they're feeling good about having a 2-1 series lead. Might have gotten after it a little bit.
The definition of complacency, perhaps. Okay, now another question. Can you, if I was going to ask you, and maybe this week I'll ask you this same kind of question, is explain to a young child why Aaron Rodgers is mad. And I'll see if we can get an answer, because I don't think there is one that anyone could give that makes any sense right now. let me ask you this. Why is Embiid playing more minutes and is more involved in the game with usage, you know, if you look at usage numbers, since he hurt his meniscus than he has in any other time of his career? You could make the case that in the games in this series, which are all post that injury, his usage rate, his minutes are as high as any time in his career. It's not as if these games were particularly close, and I would make the case that game three, that Sixers had a significant lead. It was almost insurmountable, if not insurmountable, and Embiid was still in the game. So it's one thing to say, hey, it's the playoffs, baby. We do what we need to do. What is the reasonable rationale for this amount of usage and playing of Embiid?
Maybe he wasn't as injured as was being reported.
But he missed an entire game.
I know. I'm thinking maybe the idea was this is maybe some fatigue, maybe give him a day.
Think he was getting a rest day during the NBA playoffs?
He doesn't seem to be affected by a meniscus tear.
But the whole thing about a meniscus tear, and again, I dropped out of medical school, so I didn't graduate, but I didn't really go, but okay, is that it's not so much that it's hurting you now, it's the fact that it's weakened, and thus if you land a certain way or whatever, it's going to then tear worse or tear all the way, right? It feels like this is one of those it's okay till it's not type injuries.
Yeah, and look, maybe there's also the aspect of Joel Embiid. One of the knocks on him has always been the injuries, like Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And maybe he looks at this and says, man, I'm not going to go out there and be concerned about getting hurt anymore. I just want to go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may
be. Or more, let me make this statement, and if I somehow am able to play out and lead us to a title, it will be Willis Reed style. If I go down hard, this isn't one of those injuries that's going to be a 6-month rehab. It still will just be surgery, and I think it's four, five, 6 weeks. It's a modest type recovery time. So the theory is, hey, I go down on my sword, and no one can ever question. Hey, Kevin McHale once played, and he's limping for it. And you know, Embiid played on a torn meniscus. Most people wouldn't even play. He played a bunch of extra minutes, and finally his knee gave out. What a hero!
Yeah, and I think maybe he heard some of the conversations about Anthony Davis, and that was one of the big takeaways from the Lakers is Anthony Davis needs to get right because that was a bad way to finish the season for him. And maybe he looks at that and says, I'm not going down that way. So he's been dominant.
Well, listen, the case could be made that during the regular season that Embiid was the most valuable player per minute, meaning just as much as he was on the court, he was more effective probably than the Joker. It was just the Joker was on the court. And I don't think it's a coincidence. This is right when Joker won and then was presented as MVP, and he's figuring that should have been mine, except I missed X number of games. So real quick, over-under for Trae Young tonight, 27.5 points. Embiid is 30.5 points. So both of them expected to score. I don't have any strong opinion in this one. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, and the next game is the Jazz at the Clippers. The Clippers with a dominant win in Game 3. Utah has a 2-1 series lead in that matchup. That's a 10 Eastern time tip on TNT. And right now the Clippers are a 5-point favorite.
And, I mean, this is from pregame.com research, which I find this stat to be particularly interesting. How goes the Clippers? Well, how does Paul George shoot? When he shoots, and this is the George's playoff team. So throughout his career, when Paul George shoots 50% or better, they win 63% of the games. And when he shoots worse than 50%, 39%. So 63% when he shoots well, 39% when he shoots poorly, Paul George. Personally, I think the Clippers are a hot and cold team, and thus if I had to make a bet, and this is not even a pizza bet, this is you're a degenerate and you got to bet something, I would take the Jazz plus the points here. I lean that way.
If you missed any of today's show on Straight Outta Vegas, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. Just search in the podcast section for Straight Outta Vegas. And we will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio for a preview of all the games in the NBA playoffs and a look back at these two matchups from tonight's action. That, again, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here, Fox Sports Radio. And you can find the show, as always, every single week day on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!